If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
Live from Liverpool, The Dark Paranormal, Season 20. Well, hello everyone and welcome back to another installment of The Dark Paranormal. This is episode 4, and because this is our anniversary season, so to speak, with it being season 20, and the fifth year of the show, we have something a little different to announce. So, today, and today only, we will not be announcing any new Patreon names, but only for this week. And the reason for that is we have a little announcement regarding Patreon. I've long since said I want season 20 to be something a bit different, a bit special, and therefore, for the entire month of June, there is a free week trial that you can go and check. I've always said I wanted season 20 to be something special, to try and give something different to you guys each and every week. And therefore, for the duration of June and the duration of June only, you can head over to patreon.com/thedarkparanormal and sign up for a week free trial of our main tier. That tier would give you access to not only everything on this main feed, both early and ad-free, but also access to the Dark Bites podcast, which is reserved for Patreons on that tier and comes out every Sunday of the year. You will also have unrestricted access to that back catalogue of over 100 hours of Patreon-only material. And you'll be able to see the comments on the episodes and just how wonderful the community that I've told you all about is. As I say, this season we want to try and give something back to you guys. So if at the end of your week trial you don't wish to continue, no harm, no foul, it's a free trial. You just end it there and then. But hopefully you'll stick around and enjoy and become part of that community that I've raved about for God knows how many seasons, and rightly so, in my opinion. Now, you cannot get this through the iOS app at the moment, and I would always suggest anyway signing up via a laptop or via the web page on your mobile, because it does work out cheaper than going through the app. And what you can do is, once you've signed up via a computer or laptop or the mobile phone on the website page, is you can download the app and enter your login credentials, and the app will work just fine. So just to reiterate the main message for this season, this anniversary celebratory season only, and for the duration of June, you can head over to patreon.com/thedarkparanormal and enjoy 1 week free trial at the highest tier. The link will also be in the show notes, of course. And to the people who've emailed in asking about Apple subscriptions, that's something we're working on. Obviously, Apple doesn't have the same functionality at the moment to show video content, so we need to look at how we price that. But we are working on it, and it's something we're going to deliver in this season. Now, I'm exceptionally proud of our Patreon community, hence opening the doors just for this month of June for that week trial. So don't hesitate to go and give it a try, because believe me, come the end of June, the doors are firmly shut once more, and we'd love to have you on the inside. So once more, either visit the show notes or go to patreon.com/thedarkparanormal. But we have our fourth episode of season 20 to deal with today. And we're going to hear from a very interesting person named Emily. Now, we've specifically placed Emily's episode here at episode 4 for a very good reason. One, and this takes nothing away in the slightest from Emily's experience, it's a much more cerebral experience. As in, you're probably not going to be leaping out of your chair in fear, but your mind will be going to some wonderfully terrifying places. And we've placed it here at episode 4 because obviously, already, next week will be episode 5, and what we've decided to do is treat that as a rather special episode. So much so that myself and the team were torn between two episodes to be season 20's finale. And you're going to hear one of them for the midpoint episode next week. So today is more like the paranormal calm before the paranormal tempest. And believe me, you will not want to miss it. However, with Emily's experience, as I implied earlier, not everything needs a flashbang. Sometimes recognizing a string of seemingly unconnected eerie encounters as part of an overall arc can be a much more terrifying thought. I've mentioned numerous times Mary Rose Barrington and her idea of the jot, just one of those things, and how often a skeptical person might write off the paranormal events. Thankfully, Emily's not only a believer, but a practitioner of Wicca. And within this email, it's rare that we hear this, but Emily gives a warning to those looking to further any powers that someone may believe they have. But right now, lower the lights. Make yourself comfortable, and most importantly, leave your disbelief at the door. As we hear all about a lantern for the dead. Hi, Kevin. I love the show and I started listening in October. It's now March and I've listened to almost all the seasons. I have to say, I take reassurance from hearing similar experiences to mine. And like you say, it's the little details that make me freeze and recall my events as if they were happening again. Well, where do I start? My experience is about many events. Events that have happened throughout my life and are still happening. Sure, there are some parts that are creepy, most are curious. I'm sure you could explain them away if you really tried. I used to, for the most part, as well. Apart from the ones I couldn't. I've often had a conversation with my partner or my sister or friends who are very much on the fence, more leaning to I don't believe. Like my partner says, I want to believe, but when you haven't experienced anything, it's very hard to believe. And I completely agree. Logic would align that the paranormal is my subconscious wanting to believe in it and making it fit. However, when you outright see a ghost in front of you, or doors slam in sequence as you walk into a house, you can't explain that away. You can try the door slamming. Sure, that could be a draft. But what about the countless times anyone walked into the house over the years? No sequence of doors slamming and no power cut before or after that time. It really does narrow down the possibilities of what it could be. Then if you feel the atmosphere of the house in that second, I knew the house wanted me out, and I obliged. I grew up thinking this house was dark, and trust me, I felt it. Even people who didn't believe felt it. However, let's take, for example, the doors slamming incident. You could say it was the house wanting me out. But something about that house wasn't evil. It was complicated. The doors slamming, I feel that was a warning, almost protective. It didn't want me in there for a reason. I'm in my mid-20s, and it's only been the last year and a half that I've really practiced my psychic abilities. I know this is where everyone rolls their eyes, and for a time, I did too. You say psychic, you think hippie. I know I've done it, but this journey has helped me more than I could have thought. Some people have a choice about learning these abilities. For me, I didn't really have one. I've always sensed and seen spirit. I used to be afraid and ignore it. However, it didn't work. The more afraid I was, the more I felt confused and not in control. So I decided, why not learn about the things happening? At least when you're educated about it, you're no longer afraid. And you're not stepping into something you don't know anything about without any control. And I can safely say this has worked for me. I've learned, / I'm learning, about energy sensing, protections, cleansings, groundings, how to interact with spirit. And I'm in a spiritual group, so I don't feel so alone. However, I feel I must warn anyone wanting to learn. The more you look in, the more they see you. You are essentially a lighthouse, and the spirits are a boat. Don't be surprised if they start coming closer. Now, I'm not saying this to put anyone off. It's merely just a warning. Get yourself a good spiritual group to lean on and be guided. Anyway, I digress. Let me start from the beginning. My story has two halves. Before I started practicing and after. I apologize if this doesn't make a lot of sense. I'm not very good at putting pen to paper. So to try to recount all of my experiences, it may be a bit jumbled, but please bear with me. Hopefully, it will all come together at the end. Now, before I started practicing, I always believed in something on the other side, but I couldn't tell you what. And I've always believed in spirits. No, before you ask, I cannot see ghosts. Well, not very often, or unless I tune in. But I do feel them. It's a knowing, as well as a feeling. And it's been like that for a very long time. The first time I encountered something was when we moved into my third home. I was in year 4, so maybe about 8 years old. It was a farmhouse in an old mining village in Somerset, with some land. The farmhouse itself had the original house, and it had been built on, demolished, etc., repeatedly a few times. We moved in, and I remember fighting with my sister as to who got the bigger room. Well, I lost out, as I had the bigger room in our previous home. So I got the small one in the original part of the house. I was very excited, though. It was the first time I got to decorate my own room, and the house was huge. I'll describe part of the house so you have a reference for later. I'm going to start with the old part. You walk into the conservatory, and straight ahead of you would be the kitchen. Now, this is obviously the original kitchen because it had the old oil arga. Joining onto the kitchen was the dining room, which led into the lounge with a fireplace, and to the right of this was an old spiral staircase, which led to the landing, but then also continued to the attic of the house. Off to the right on the landing would be my bedroom, and straight ahead the bathroom. To the left would be the new part of the house. Straight ahead you would see my sister's room. It had a long, narrow corridor to the right, which led to my parents' room. Finally, back down the stairs to the lounge, which also led off to the newer part of the house, but honestly, nothing really happened in that part. I appreciate descriptions can be tedious, but I feel this gives a good demonstration of the size of the house and where old meets new. Before I truly begin my story, I need to give you my first experience, or what I would always say is my first, but sometimes I'm not so sure. My childhood was overall a very happy one. I have a condition, and as a child I could get quite ill from chest infections. I'm pleased to say as an adult I'm well, and I have a healthy life. My parents are brilliant parents. They are all me and my sister could ask for. Provided for us, loved us, gave us a good upbringing, and instilled good ethics in us. However, they fought a lot of the time. My dad had a short temper, trying to run a business and pay bills. My mum being bossy whilst trying to look after me and my sister, and be successful in her career, and be the wife of the house. They split in 2009 when I was 11. My dad stayed in the house and my mum left. Anyway, like I said, my parents fought a lot, and when they did, both me and my sister were on eggshells. Apologies for the slight detour, it's just to give more context. We moved into this house and life carried on as normal. Strange things happened, but nothing that you couldn't explain away. Hand towels falling off the arga. Maybe just not put on properly. That creak? Well, it's an old house. That's until things started getting a bit weirder. Now, I have to admit, I always saw the towels falling off the arga. However, my gran, my mum's mum, saw the towels get picked up, then dropped. Anyone in the house would always feel uncomfortable in the dining room. You'd genuinely run through it at night. Then the dogs staring into the dining room, always at the same corner. Now, we had two dogs when my parents were together, and when they split, my dad's new partner started living there with her two dogs. Both pair of dogs would stare at the same corner on numerous occasions. Sometimes they would growl randomly at that same corner of the dining room. My room in the old part of the house had a wall partition that had an old disused boiler. This was where I kept my clothes. This part of my bedroom, as well as the room above me, also felt uncomfortable. I would always feel like there was something at the bottom of my bed, and sometimes something would sit on my bed. I used to, and still do, think it was a child. And then another very weird thing happened. Let's take a quick break to tell you about a wonderful product. Did you know there are more than 1,000 hormone disruptors living rent-free in our world? From the food we eat to the air we breathe, even the skincare we use, they could be messing with your hormones and making you feel like you're stuck in a mystery of your own. And just like a plot twist in a true crime story or one of those unexpected scary moments in our submitters' experiences, hormonal changes like premenopause or menopause can strike at the most unexpected times. And suddenly you're dealing with mood swings, sleepless nights, and all those other symptoms that make you feel like you're losing control. But here's the good news. This is one mystery you can solve with Happy Mammoth. Just take the 2-minute free quiz from Happy Mammoth, answer a few simple questions about what you're experiencing and where you're at in life, and you'll uncover the real culprit behind your hormonal symptoms. And the best part? After taking the quiz, you'll get a personalized recommendation to help you balance your hormones so you can feel like yourself again. The results are impressive. There are over 40,000 reviews on their website. Women cannot stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. According to a survey, 86% of the women started losing weight, 77% say it improved their mood, and the biggest benefit? 100% of the women surveyed said they're feeling like themselves again. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code DARKPARANORMAL at checkout. That's happymammoth.com, and use the code DARKPARANORMAL for 15% off today. As I said, I have a condition, which means I need a CPAP machine to sleep at night, and therefore need night care. One night, I sat bolt upright, opened my eyes, and talked nonsense to one of the carers when they came to check on me. Now, I've mumbled in my sleep before, but nothing like this, and I have no recollection of it. I didn't even have a dream, as far as I can recall, and I've certainly not done it since. Now for what I would say would be my first ghost experience. My mum, dad and sister were all outside and I was putting myself to bed and then heard their footsteps coming up the stairs. So I shouted out to say goodnight to my mum, something I always did, and she would always say goodnight back. Goodnight, mum! No response. So I shouted again, goodnight, mum! Nothing. I shouted louder once more and again got no response. That uncomfortable feeling crept up. I started panicking, almost crying. I got myself out of bed and was about to call again when the light came on in the conservatory. My bedroom window was above the conservatory, so I could see who was in the conservatory from my bedroom. Anyway, the door just opened, the lights came on, and my parents and sister came through the door. I called once more for my mum again. This time she came up and I asked her why she ignored me. Mum replied saying she'd just walked in. I then explained what happened, and she said it was just the floorboards. So I went to bed telling myself that. From that day until we left, I just got the uncomfortable feeling and the dog staring and sometimes you'd hear someone walking above you, but I tended to just put it all down as the old house. There was only two more occasions that differed from the constant uncomfortable feeling. One where the lampshade started moving by itself. My dad's partner saw this as well. She said it was just the Hoover that she'd just finished. But the Hoover wasn't on. So how would the Hoover cause that? I was around 15 at this time. The last was very similar to the first. We were all outside and it was dark outside, around October. I said I'd go in and put the kettle on. So I walked in and went to take off my boots. Yes, this is the door slamming story I mentioned earlier. As I entered, all of a sudden, the lights went out. Now, this had happened once before, so I wasn't that concerned. I was going to sort the trip switch out when the door from the lounge to the conservatory, the door from the dining room to the kitchen, and the door from the kitchen to the conservatory all slammed shut. Well, that was that. I froze and slowly backed outside, and I would not go back in without my dad. My dad left that house when I was 19, and that house has never left my memory. Now in the house my mum moved to when she split from my dad, I never felt anything. The house she lives in now, I sometimes do in the hallway, but it's a soft kind of feeling. Once in the 13th century, Lecoq Abbey in Wiltshire. I don't know whereabouts I was, but I did my usual angst and marched through way too quickly as I was bored and I wanted to go home. I went into one section where no one else was, and all of a sudden, it went cold. The natural light darkened, and I felt watched by something dark and small. I knew I wasn't wanted there, so I swiftly left that room. I found my mum and tried to get out of that place as quickly as possible. Another time, I was on my way back from Bristol to Bath, through the back windy roads, not a way I've driven before. Now, I was young and an idiot, and I went way too fast around a bend. All of a sudden, I saw a male on a bike, but it felt like he was from the early 1900s. And him and his bike were pure white. I slammed my brakes and gasped, and he was gone. I looked in my mirror, and absolutely nothing was there. Now, all of this happened in split seconds, but before I knew it, there was another sharp bend to the other direction and a car coming around that bend. Honestly, if that person didn't appear, I honestly think I would have at the very least written my car off and potentially much worse. Now, why did I suddenly start bringing all of this back up 8 years after my dad left that house? Well, my partner and I moved into our first home, and I love our home. It's warm and protective. However, I believe we're not alone. And so, to pay respect to where I currently live, I won't speak about him. I used to sometimes get the feeling, that same cold feeling I recognize so well. However, it wasn't as dark, and I believe if you respect the house and whoever's residing in it, then we can coexist with them. At the end of the day, it was someone else's house before ours. We owe it to those who used to live here. There's been several noises heard over time in this house, and our dog stares into the hall sometimes. I've thought I've seen things out of the corner of my eye, and got that feeling of not being alone throughout the house. The same place our dog stares, my partner and I have also heard noises from there, and saw the dog staring. My dog's a lab and loves anyone that walks into the house. She has her own routine. Wait by the door, wag her tail, and when someone walks in, go and get a toy and give it to whoever's just walked in. You can literally always tell if someone is about to come in, as she'll wait by the door and wag her tail. Now, I've thought I've heard the door open to find her waiting, wagging her tail to no one. I check outside, no one. My partner has witnessed this as well, but he always finds some reason for it which is more logical. Anyway, our dog I've just mentioned, when she was a puppy in 2023, I realised I could feel when she was about to start dreaming. That little puppy dreaming thing they do, I noticed I could feel the energy of it about 5 to 10 minutes before she would puppy dream. It felt like static, like when you rub a balloon. That's how I feel energy. The more intense, the warmer it is. I started looking as to why and what it was and stumbled on you on a video about energy sensing. Whilst deep diving into this, I also wanted to look into spirits. Over the last year and a half of learning about psychic abilities, witchcraft and protection, I've learned how to tune into my guides and into protection. I've realised that I've always been psychic, having vivid dreams that somehow turn out to be true in the future. I often have dreams that turn out to be a reality months or years later. So much so, I've started writing all of my dreams down that feel vivid to see if they ring true later down the line. I've also gone to a tarot class, and in the final class, we had to give a reading to someone you didn't know. Turns out what I felt about this individual was spot on. If you believe in your abilities, you can't go wrong. And it's amazing just how true that is. I'm still very much a rookie, and by no means am I dabbling with things I don't know. The furthest I've got is protecting my home and burning herbs for manifestations, reading oracles, tarots, pendulums. And unless I know how to fix a spell, if it goes wrong, then I shouldn't start something I don't know. But I'm willing to learn. Witchcraft isn't always dark. It's a craft. It's what you make it. Two people can do it and it can look very different. Now, during my time learning, I've realised that my granddad and great-grandma died within a year. My great-granny was kind, lovely, and I loved her coming over on a Sunday. My granddad, I didn't know him too well. I was young, too young to remember him. But Mum said he helped her out a lot when I was a baby. Shortly after this, I don't know how long, I remember locking myself in our bathroom. I think I'd broken something important and was scared of what my dad would say. I knew he'd shout and I wanted it all to go away. I remember pleading to anyone to help and make it better. And when I came out, it was better. Then for a long time, it was almost like when I was in need, I could ask for help and it would come. I don't know who surrounded me to help, but it's familiar. And when I go to mediums, they always sense a male presence around me, protecting me. I've also learned that I have several guides. Some of this earth, others are not. Which leads me to ask the question, shadow figures. I believe one may be a guide. What if they're not of this earth? But like humans, some are nice and some aren't. Sorry if this seems like a drawn-out email, but it's a series of scenarios playing into the next, and I wanted to make sure I got them all down. I had to get this down in one quick go, and spelling and grammar is not my forte. As I mentioned, I have many vivid dreams, and since learning about my abilities, I have constant dreams / sea spirit, so have a few more shorter stories to tell. If you want to hear them, that is. Lastly, others mention Ouija boards. Well, I wouldn't touch one. I don't believe they are inherently evil, and I do believe you can use them safely, if you know what you're doing. However, there are so many unknowns in this world. By using divination, you do allow a spotlight or a door to open. Unless you have someone specifically in mind to connect with when opening that door, anyone can walk through. Or anything. I use pendulums, granted, which is divination, but for me, these have a spirit / personality, and it's about a connection with that spirit. When buying them, I follow my senses. I touch them to feel a sense for what the spirit is within. And I only go for the ones that feel right, and I trust my gut. Thanks for reading, and I love this show. I cannot tell you how good it is to know you're not alone. In brackets, or crazy. All the best, Emily. Well, Emily, thank you so much for that submission. I really enjoyed it, and I'll explain why. People may be thinking, well, nothing truly happened there. Listen again. This is a beautiful journey of somebody's paranormal life, developing, evolving, someone who is able to look at the dark paranormal and think, I'm going to figure out a way to understand you more. And the analogy at the start, I think, is perfect. That when you start looking into these things, it's often the old cliche, they look back. But I think the way Emily phrased it is much better. You basically turn yourself on like a lighthouse, and the spirits are boats, and they will be drawn to you. And what Emily describes in terms of how we use our own, or how we can use our own physical senses, our own spiritual gifts, to try and sense danger, to try and sense spirit. This all plays in rather well to next week's mid-season episode 5. Because whereas we have today a series of well put across feelings and emotions and descriptions of how it feels to encounter and interact with the spirit world or with things you don't understand, next week, sadly for the individual, that person doesn't have that knowledge, that patience to learn, or indeed possibly an interest in the topic at all. What they do have is, well, utterly terrifying. But Emily, you also said that you did have additional stories to send through, and we would love to receive them, as with anyone else out there who has their own paranormal experience. Simply click the link in the show notes to take you right through to the website and submit your experience, or go to thedarkparanormal.com and click Submit My Experience. And don't forget, guys, we're having an open month for Patreon. So head over to patreon.com/thedarkparanormal and you can get 1 week trial free of charge for the month of June only, as a special for our 20th anniversary. And we're looking forward to delivering more surprises along the way. But until this time next week, when we have our midpoint episode, and it's definitely not one to miss, believe me, a huge thank you for joining me on your show. And remember, whenever you're discussing the paranormal, always try to leave some of your own disbelief at the door. And I'll speak to you all next time right here on The Dark Paranormal.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.